call. You go to school. Think about it. When you went to school, they called roll. So-and-so, and you answered present or here. So-and-so, and they answered present or here. And then for those of us that were in the military, they had roll call, and you answered whatever the required answer was at the time. And sometimes it was a very short answer, sometimes it was a little more lengthy answer. But you had to answer and let them know that you were present, because if you were marked not there, somebody was going to go looking for you. And you had better have a good reason why you were not there. Well, the English word roll can have several meanings. It can mean a written document that may be rolled up. For example, a scroll. It can also mean a document containing an official or formal records. An example, the rolls of Parliament. It can be a manuscript book. It can be a list of names or related items. It can be an official list. We have early voting going on right now, and you can only vote, well, let's put it this way, you're supposed to be able to only vote if your name is upon that official voter's roll. And when you go in, they're supposed to ask you, at least in this state, for your voter identification card and for your picture ID, and to prove that you are who you say you are. So there are various things that make up a roll. It can also mean something that performs a rolling action. And the thought that came to my mind as to what that could be was a rolling pin. How many of you are familiar with a rolling pin? Yeah, some of you holding your head. Maybe you've met a rolling pin in that way. But typically we think of a rolling pin as something that you roll the dough out flat with. And so that's another thing that roll can mean. You know, there is a verse, as I was studying this, that I found particularly interesting that was using the English word here, roll. And in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "Moreover, the Lord said unto me, take thee a great roll, and write it with a man's pen, make speed to the spoil, haste to the prey." And I just found that interesting, because if you're reading that in your King James Bible, you will find that "make speed to the spoil, haste to the prey" is some Hebrew word that I cannot pronounce. I mean, I could if I really, really tried and studied it for a while, but it's a long one. One word, but it means a whole big thing here. And so rolls, in the sense of keeping a record, are in the Bible. They kept record of things, and they studied the rolls. The scripture that we call the Old Testament was written down on rolls of parchment, and that's how they kept a written record of it. And it was very detailed in the way that they did it. In fact, unlike a lot of things today, they went through and it was examined, and if the least little defect was found, it had to be destroyed and they had to start all over again. Today we have a tendency in our society to, oh, if it's got a little minor defect, that's okay, we'll go on and use it anyway. Well, the word roll, in the Luke chapter 2, verse 1, we find the word not used particularly in that word roll, but it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there came a decree from Caesar, or Augustus Caesar, that all the world should be taxed." And in the Complete Jewish Bible and a couple of other translations as well, that word decree is translated census. And the word census can actually boil back down to a roll. They're keeping a record of how many people. Your city that you live in, or the county that you live in, or the state that you live in, the country that we live in, takes a census every so many years. The national census is every 10 years. Various cities and localities can take one really whenever they please. The purpose of it is to keep a record of how many people are living in that particular area. And it's used for various purposes, one of the main ones being the very thing that Augustus Caesar was doing it for, taxation. So every time you get a census form, know that it really boils down to your taxes. They're keeping record. And so they want to know how many folks are there, what they're doing, and so on. The Greek word used there, and I may mispronounce this slightly, but I'm not a Greek scholar, apokographo or something like that. And maybe, was I close? Apokraphy, okay, which can be translated enroll or enrollment. The word that was used for the word translated decree or census or whatever it was there, yeah, decree in the King James Version. You see, God also keeps records or rolls. We don't often stop to think about that, but the Bible tells us, quite frankly, and in a number of places, that God keeps records. We go back into the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. And it says, Daniel writing here, I beheld till the thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days did set, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels are burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth before him. Thousands and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000s stood before him. The judgment was set up, and the books were open. And when you go back and look up that word books, it comes out the rolls were opened. They were checking the records here. The Hebrew word sephar can also be translated roll. And as it's used there. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, we read, Yea, and I beseech thee, faithful yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my other fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. And if you go back, that word book can be also translated roll. They are in the record book that God is keeping. God keeps a roll. We're also told that someday there will be a roll call. Remember, I talked in the beginning here about school. You went to school, and for those in the military, when you were in the military, they had that roll call. In the military, the only day I remember that we didn't have roll call was Sunday. School, we had roll call every day they were there. And it was kind of interesting, just thinking about it. My oldest daughter, when she first started to school, she was talking one day about skipping school. And so we began to question her about it. And she said, well, all I've got to do is go to the class and answer present when they take the roll, and I can get out of there, and they'll never miss me the rest of the day. Well, and the way it was working was, yes, they thought she was there, even though she was long gone, or was going to be. She had it all figured out till she blabbed to us, and we put a stop to it, because we went to the principal. said, okay, you better be keeping track of this kid. You know, God keeps a record. A lot of people don't seem to think that God knows what they're doing, that God knows what's going on in your life. After all, he's some being that's sitting up in some far distant place that we can't even see. And he created all of this stuff, but he's up there and he's not concerned about what's going on in your life. But the Word of God tells us quite the opposite. He's keeping record of every detail of what's going in your life. And does he have just one book? It talks about the book of life several times, but it also talks about that there are other books and other records that he keeps. Talks about a book of remembrance. God knows what happened. He knows what you did. Sometimes people, even Christians, think, well, I can hide this from God. You know, I can keep everybody from finding out what I'm sneaking around and doing. But God knows. You can't get away from God. And it's in his record book. Now, I know we've seen some cartoons and stuff of or drawings of some angel sitting here writing in a scroll, and it's God's record keeper or whatever. I don't know exactly how God does it, but I know that he does it because his word says he does it. He's keeping a roll of what's going on today in your life. And he's also keeping a roll about what you're thinking about doing in your life. A lot of us don't stop to think about that, but he knows our thoughts as well. And he's got a record of what's going on. And I know there are some people out there that teach, oh, well, once you get saved and you come down to the altar and say, dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins, come into my heart, and so on, and pray the sinner's prayer, or as some people say, and you know, you're forgiven then, and whatever you do after that's already forgiven. Well, all your sins were forgiven on the cross of Calvary, but you got to ask for it. Amen. You know, you can't just say, okay, this is an open ticket now to go out and live however I want to live. Because God's got a role. God keeps records. In fact, I just thought the IRS could use a little help from God because they seem to be losing some. Unfortunately, it's the wrong ones. They kept your records, I'll bet. But God keeps records. One day we are told in the Word of God that there will be a roll call. Revelations 22, verse 12. And by the way, the book of Revelation speaks numerous times about these rolls and roll calls. In the King James Version, it will refer to them as books, but they are rolls in essence. And God is keeping these records. He says in 22:12, and behold, I come shortly, and quickly is the word used in the King James Version, and my reward is with me to give to every man according to his work shall be. So he is saying, I am coming, and I am coming soon, and I am going to give to men those things that he is rewarded for according to his works. So if he's going to give you a reward according to your works, he has what? He's kept a roll. Some people, and unfortunately, you know how you remember certain little minor things that don't really seem to make a hill of beans, but you will remember them all of your life? And I remember all those many years ago in my first year of Bible college. I think it was my first year. It might have been my second year. I just remember that's where it was at. And we were sitting around a study table one morning before classes began. And one of the seniors walked in all of his pompous attitude. After all, he was a senior. He'd been going there for 4 years. He knew everything. You ever run into somebody like that? I have, more than once. But he walked in and we were studying and he says, when you finish here, you've completed your 4 years, you won't need that book anymore. You'll know it all. We never know it all. People also went on to say, well, when you get saved, you're saved. You can now sit back in your rocking chair and you can rock your way into heaven. You don't need to do anything else. Just sit out there on your front porch and rock your way into heaven. But if you've read the Word, which is a role in itself, it tells you you're supposed to be doing some works here. Number one, it says the rewards you get in heaven are going to come because of those. We need to do things. And I know I hear some people say, oh, well, you know, and they really are in sincerity, I really haven't done much for God. And yet you look at them, and you see the little things that they're doing that they don't even think about, and they are helping people constantly every day. Our works don't necessarily have to be something that gets a big flamboyant announcement about it. I did this, and it affected so many people. But we've got a lot of people out there that are just going along daily, helping here, helping there, doing this, doing that. And they're building up a greater reward than a lot of these people who have this big flamboyant announcement about, look at what I've done. Look at me. Our reward is based upon our works, and our works have to do with our sincerity and how we are trying our best to serve God and our ability to serve God. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. There's some little old men and women that are going to be standing before God at that time when the rewards are handed out, and they're going to get greater rewards than some of the people that we all knew about throughout the world and thought they did such great things. Because they did, just like the widow woman in the Scripture who gave the little offering, and Jesus said she gave more than the others did because she gave all that she had. And when we do our best for God, He's got it in His role. So and so, maybe they didn't do as much as some other people did, but they did all they had the ability to do. And God is not basing the rewards you get in heaven as a Christian on what somebody else did. He's basing it on what you did. And He's got it in His role. And it's not like the roles that we have down here on earth. They can't get tampered with. Unfortunately, down here, a lot of our records can get tampered with. I was talking with my brother-in-law just the other day about my medical records while I was in the Army, and I requested them several years back, and I was amazed at how many of them were missing, and things that I needed wasn't there. They were lost, or they were this, or they were that. Records down here get messed with. The records on God's roll don't get changed. They don't get altered. God keeps records. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and every man may receive the things which are done in his body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. But he's talking there about us as Christians that are going to appear, what's referred to in theological terms as the Bema Seat Judgment of Christ. When you are going to stand there as a Christian and get your reward. And I know I've heard people say, well, if I can just make it into heaven by the skin of my teeth. Ever hear anybody say that? Last time I checked with the dentist, your teeth don't have any skin. And if you're looking to make it to heaven by the skin of your teeth, you're in trouble. And I know some people mean by that, as long as I get there. Well, yeah, that's better than the alternative. But just think, if you go out and just do the best you can for God, that's all you need to do. God has never expected more from you than He has given you the ability to do. Other people may expect that, but God doesn't. He only expects from you what He has given you the ability to accomplish and to do. So we're going to stand in that judgment, and there's going to be a roll call as He calls out so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And all these things are taking place. But the Bible tells us that there are two judgments. There are two rolls. There's the roll that the names are written on that is called the Book of Life. And that's the roll that you get written on as a Christian. You're in that book. You're going to be standing in that judgment I just mentioned. But then there's going to be another roll call that takes place after the tribulation period is over and after all of these other things have passed on here that we read about in the book of Revelations. And in Revelations 20, verse 11, it talks about this one. And it says, "And I saw a great white throne and one that sat on it, from whose face fled away both the earth and heaven, and their place was no more found." Now, I've got to mention here, a lot of people, especially people who are not Christians, say, "Okay, well, you talk about as a Christian, you talk about God being such a loving God. Well, if He were such a loving God, then why would He send anybody to hell?" And they'll throw that at you. Got news for you. God's never sent anybody to hell. We send ourselves. We send ourselves either by our actions or by our inaction. And a lot of people don't like to look at it that way, but our inaction sends more people to hell than their actions. Because if you do not take the action to simply sit down and say, "Jesus, I know You died on the cross for my sins, and Your blood washed away my sins. It was the sacrifice. I now accept that as the sacrifice and the covering for my sin." If you don't do that, that inaction is what will send you there. God made the way. He paid the price. He gave you the ticket. You just didn't use it. So there will be multitudes that stand before this judgment. Bible goes on to tell us in some other verses that there will be theirs that stand before Him and say, "Lord, Lord, I did this and I did that." And He's going to look at them and say, "I'm sorry, I don't know who You are. You're not on my roll." And there are people out there today that go around doing the "Lord, Lord" thing. They supposedly cast out the devils and they do this and they do that, and they aren't saved. Bible talks about it in the day of Paul with the seven sons of Sceva that wanted to do all of these things. That tells you what happened to them. They tried to cast the devil out, and devil came out of the guy okay and whooped him. You know, you don't want to mess with the devil. Some of us get the opinion, "Okay, man, I can do all of this." Well, without God's help, you can't do anything. So there are going to be multitudes standing at that roll call as well. The only thing is, their name's not going to be found in the book. Goes on in verse 12, "And I saw the dead, both small, great and small, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So we're judged as Christians according to our works. As non-Christians, we're not there. He's looking and saying, I never knew you. There's an old song that we used to sing in church. I don't recall that I've heard it in quite some time. But it was when the roll is called up yonder, and it says, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. Let's think about it. There's more than one trumpet sounded in the Bible, so let's clarify a few things. There's going to be that trumpet sounded the time the rapture takes place. The saints of God are taken up. It talks about, and we're changed and in the twinkling of an eye. But we're also told that after the church has gone out of the world, that there will also still people that will be saved. And some of them we're talking about in a little bit different context here. But that trumpet's going to sound. Some of us are going to be gone. We're going to be standing at a roll call. Later on, others are going to be standing at roll calls. But when the trumpet sounds, time shall be no more. There comes a time in the Word of God, it says, that time shall be no more. It's hard for us to comprehend a lack of time. We're so structured to time. In church, we're structured to time. Your service starts at what time? It gets out at what time? Well, I can't come to your church because you go an hour and 15 minutes, and I can't go more than an hour. And we've run into people that was why, oh, well, I'm sorry, we can't come to your church because you go too long. And I think our service is short. Time will be no more. Time has also run out at that point for you to choose what you want to do with your life and whether or not you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Goes on to say, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. The saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder. I'll be there. There's a day coming that a trumpet's going to sound. I want to go back to the military for a minute. Go back to school as it used to be when I was in school. I tell you, they do a lot of crazy things, in my opinion, in school today. But back in my day, you had a bell that rang, and you went in, and it was roll call. And the Army, in the morning, you had a trumpet or a bugle that sounded. It may have been an electronic one that was a recording, but that bugle got sounded, and you had to get up, and within a certain period of time, you had a roll call. When the trumpet of God sounds, there's going to be followed by a roll call. And that's when we're going to, and we want to hear our name in that roll call. We want to, as God goes down the list. And you know, one of the things that I find so amazing is it tells us that there's going to be a period of time on the earth, that within a certain time frame, certain things are going to happen. And it tells us about also these things that are going on in heaven. And time-wise, really, I don't see how in time-wise, as we count time, you can make the two things fit. But that's because God's time is not like our time. God doesn't need time. That's why he's going to do away with it eventually. It was made for us. The chorus of that particular song is, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I guess they really wanted you to know in that chorus, when that roll is called in heaven, I'm going to be there. I'm planning to be there when that roll is called. Goes on in the second verse and says, on that bright and cloudless morning, and dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share. When his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. My question to you today is, which roll call will you be at? There's that roll call where the saints of God are going to hear their name called out on that roll. And then there's an essence, that other time that's coming later, when they will stand and their name is not upon the roll. But if you're listening to me today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your name's not on the roll. And if that trumpet sounded today, it could be too late. If death, call it a trumpet of death, so to speak, were to sound today for you, your name would not be on the roll. Bible tells us today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get your name on the roll. And you simply do it by asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart and into your life. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Come into my life today. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. And if you pray a prayer just as simple as that, the Bible tells us He hears that prayer and He does it. The thief on the cross simply said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." The sacrifice hadn't even been made then, but it was about to. And the thief was just saying, "Remember me." And what did Jesus say? "Today, you will be with me in paradise." It's that simple. Father, again, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all that you have done. I thank you, Father, that our names can be written upon the roll. Father, when we stand in that judgment time, Father, and you are going down the roll, we can answer, "Present," because we'll be there and our name is in that book. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's just lift our hands and give the Lord praise.